reached that time of year when we might know the words to the first verse. And after that, we are locked into that hymnal like we haven't seen in a while. Like, there's more verses to this song? I didn't even know that. Amen. I do like Christmas, though, and I like to be able to sing those songs we rarely get to sing, and about those doctrines, mostly accurate. We've had that discussion before about Christmas. Sometimes you end up running into, wrong Advent. But that's why we're discussing our topic tonight. That's why we're talking about rightly dividing the word of truth. What's an Advent? That's what we're doing. We're going through to understand what the Lord has for us out of His Word. And, the idea of doing the rightly dividing study is so that when we come across things in the Word of God, we have a better understanding of where God put it, where it was, and why God was saying it. And it's good to understand that. It's good to know that. Listen, you're not going to read through the Bible and get everything on the first time through, or the 15th time through, or the 100th time through. You're not going to get it all. But we should be students of the Bible. We should understand the importance of the Bible. And if we understand that the Bible is extremely important, then we should also know that it's important to know what it's saying. Not just that it is important, but what is it saying, and who is it speaking to, and what is going on. So that's why we've been doing this study, and this study has been going on for a while. And I'm 50 pages in on my notebook machine here. So we've been doing it for a while, but it's good to see it and to know it and to continue to go over it. And we are now in the age of grace. We are now in the time period that God is dealing with you and I in the same way that He is dealing with others at this time. For salvation in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And so when we talk about these things, about the church and about the body of Christ and about the church being a mystery, we're not just, although it's good to learn that information, we're learning it because we're talking about rightly, we're learning it in contrast with other ages. That's what we've been doing. We've been going slowly through each age, but to show how God was dealing with man and what God desired of man at that time. And when we talk about what God desired of Adam, it is different than Noah, and it is different than Abraham. It is different than Moses. It is, in a way, different from David, and it is different than you and I. And it will be different for those in the tribulation and in the millennium to come. Those future times, God deals with man according to His Scripture in certain ways. So when we're looking at the gospel, which we went over the last time we did this, when we look at the gospel, we don't just look at the gospel and say, yeah, that's the gospel. We look at the gospel in the mindset of this study to say, how is it different than what we've already studied? What is different about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that was not the same in the Old Testament, was not the same as Jesus Christ standing and saying, repent ye, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is not the gospel that Paul preaches. He does not stand up and preach a kingdom of heaven, and that all of us are trying to bring that in. Right? Everything becomes a huge mess when you get the Bible messed up. Say, how much of a mess? All right, well, let's give an example. Let's go all the way back to the time when they were messing with the Bibles and they were inserting their own doctrines. And we have Jerome, now excuse the history lesson, we have Jerome that ends up writing a Latin Bible that had false doctrines and teachings in it. And you combine a government with a religion, you combine a church and state, so you have one government ruling, and you have one religion of that government, And that religion says that it is our job to bring in the kingdom for Jesus Christ because he has left that to us. All right? We're not just part of a spiritual kingdom. We are to bring in a physical kingdom. And so now you have a government backed by a religion that says we are to bring in a kingdom for Christ. So you know what we do? That means we start carrying banners in front of armies to kill people that are against Christ's kingdom. Yeah. Say, was that? That was, yeah, the Crusades. We're talking about the Roman Catholic Church. It is you bow and take the sacrament for the Roman Catholic Church or we kill you. Why? Because we're supposed to be bringing in a kingdom for God. Say, what happened? Wrongly dividing. Well, what happened with that? Yeah, millions and millions and millions killed. It's called the Dark Ages for a reason. Well, I'm sorry, now it's called the Middle Ages. But when I was in school, it's called the Dark Ages. Why? Oppression. Led by Rome and the Roman Catholic Church. Why? Because there was no right division. That's not the kingdom that you and I are supposed to be bringing in. We're not supposed to be gathering all our weapons together to bring in a kingdom for Christ. We know, according to the scriptures, he's going to come back and take us out. And we're going to come back with him when Christ establishes his kingdom. You and I are preaching the gospel, which is allows people to come enter into a spiritual kingdom. Right? We don't take up arms here in this church in order to go into town and force people to convert to Jesus Christ. Right? First of all, we know that doesn't even work. Why? Because you can threaten anybody all you want to, but it doesn't mean they're accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so Paul never went out there and said, this is what we should do with the gospel. You put people under extreme torture, and if they don't accept Christ, then that's it for them. You don't find that in the scriptures. You know how you get there? Wrong doctrine. Wrong doctrine. And so the problem is now that everyone with their wrong doctrine that's running around, they just don't have the guts to enforce it. They still have the wrong doctrine. They just don't have the power anymore. And so that's why Mary and Muhammad are very closely related. They'll both say, convert or we'll kill you. And someday they will combine together under the Antichrist. Say, wow, that's a little more than I thought we were getting into. Yeah, me too. But there we were. We were talking about the gospel. What is the gospel in this age? What is the importance of understanding what's going on? And of course, we know the gospel to be the death, burial, and resurrection for our sins according to the scriptures. His death provided a sacrifice. We went over this. His burial provided a substitute. His resurrection provided a savior through the eternal redemption that he offers us. His ascension back to heaven provided an advocate and a mediator for you and I between God and man. And of course, we know, according to the scriptures, that's the man, Christ Jesus. He is our mediator. He is our advocate where we can go to God and Jesus Christ can be the mediator and the advocate, the lawyer in between us both to bring us to God. And so that gospel, that believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, before the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, they didn't have access to that. They had access to the sacrifices of blood and bulls and goats. They had access to God through the high priest that now is done away with because we have direct access because of Christ's death for us and because of the propitiation and because of the remission and redemption and those things that happened, what, in Christ. They didn't happen in an animal. They didn't happen in thinking about a future prophet that was going to die for them. They didn't have access to any of that until he died. And once he died, now our faith is placed in Jesus Christ, and we have all of these new things in this new body, in this new church that Paul calls a mystery. It's different than it was before. So what happens when we receive the gospel? What does receiving the gospel do for you and I? All right, turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, this receiving the gospel. Romans 10, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross offered all of those things to anyone who would receive Jesus Christ. And so you might have heard the gospel. If you were raised religious, you understood that Jesus Christ had died. How many of you would say you were raised religious? How many of you would kind of give a little, everyone's afraid. Okay. All right, either that or we have like seven, okay? you were raised having an understanding, maybe going to church, having an understanding of some morality, understanding that there was a Jesus Christ, you know, whether you went to Sunday school as a child or not, and you were brought up in that, all right? You were brought up with that knowledge, all right? So there was a knowledge of what Jesus Christ had done. All right, so when you're talking to someone and you say, have you ever been saved or born again? They say, oh, I was raised in such and such a religion. Most of the time when they say, I was raised like this, then you can say, oh, good, you know about Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. Because religion tells you about Jesus, and then it just tells you all the extra stuff you need to do to help Jesus so that you can go to heaven. Right? So it says, okay, you were raised, you know about Jesus Christ, and then have you ever received the gospel? That's a good question. That's a good follow-up question. So they'll be like, what do you mean? I pray every day. You heard people say that? Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ? You say, I do that every day. Okay. Right? And then it's okay, circle back around and go after it again. Romans 10:9, you're familiar with the verse. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's receiving what Christ has done for us personally. John 1:12, the Gospel of John. John 1:12. Another verse you're familiar with, but it's important to make the distinction and not just knowing that Christ died. Millions and millions of people know that Jesus Christ died on a cross, but they've never accepted that payment for their own sin. They've never received Christ personally. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So it's not just an understanding of the historical fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross, or that he was God manifest in the flesh, or that he was virgin born, or any of these other things that people know about from Christmas and Easter, that he rose from the dead and he did those things, and this is what our religion's based on. It's not just believing those things happened or that he did die, but it's saying, I need that sacrifice applied to my sin. That's receiving the gospel. That is receiving the gospel. And when you do that, there's some things that happen. We're not going to cover, I mean, that's an immense Bible study. But what happens is this. You are provided a new nature. That's what happens. You're provided a new nature. All right, so what does receiving the gospel do? Firstly, you're provided with a new nature. All right, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians 5, in verse number 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, well, how do we get in Christ? You receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you are placed into the body of Christ. You are in Christ when you receive him. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You become a new creature. In this new nature, you become a new creature. And this new creature, it says old things are passed away. Now, not all things are gone. All right, some of you got saved later in life and you had some bad habits. And you got saved and you said, boy, feel like there's just, you know, a lot of people say, I just feel like there's this weight lifted off my shoulders. And man, I understand the gospel and I got saved and I just feel so much better. Then you say, man, I guess all my sinning days are over. And you walk out the door and you might make it 5 feet and you go, what happened right there? Right? And you say, I thought I was saved now. I thought everything was better. Not everything is, old things are passed away. What does that mean? They should be passed away. You have now a new creature. You now have a new man. We're going to get to that next. A new man inside of you to what? Do away with those things. But the carnal man's still here. We didn't throw him off yet. We didn't cast off the carnal man. We got a new man that was added to the carnal man. That new man went inside the carnal man. Say, whoa, boy, I mean, that's not fair. Yeah, I get it. I understand. That's where the problem comes in, right? The problem comes in and we're not fully redeemed yet. We're not fully perfected yet. We will be, but right now we're not. But we have this new creature in us. Behold, all things are become new. Now that you can understand. That you should be able to understand, especially if you were saved later in life, is, all right, now things are different. I used to, man, go to church and someone dragged me to church and you go into church and you sit there and listen to some guy yapping and depends on what the religion is and what they did. You go in there and, oh man, you know, this was going on and that's going on. And then you're like, can't wait to get out of here. That's what the lost man does. When the lost man comes into church, he's looking around going, man, they're singing weird songs. They're all oddly joyful. We're supposed to be. They're oddly joyful. They act like they're excited about this guy getting up there and yelling and talking loud and reading Bible. And I can't understand what the Bible's saying anyway, right? And they get in there and it just feels weird and it feels awkward and people are talking to me. Okay, I need to get out of here. And then they get in the car and, you know, peel out and I can hear the gravel from here. You know, oh man, we're going to have to fix that gravel, you know. And you can hear him peeling out, right? Well, why is that? Because the old man is like, ugh. And then you get saved and you come back into church and you're sitting around and all of a sudden you're like, it's kind of nice being around nice people. You start thinking, man, I don't know. These songs, they're just lifting up the Lord. I don't know any of these yet, but man, these songs are good. Talking about what the Lord did for me. And there's something now that's different. The preacher, he's just a better preacher now. He got way more interesting after I got saved. Some of you are thinking, I need to get saved. Just as I am, come on down. We'll rebaptize you. Tell all my friends I had 75% of the church get saved today, you know? It was for ulterior motives, but nonetheless. And say, yeah, I don't know, this pastor's kind of exciting. This word of God, I don't know, that's pretty neat. Never knew anything about that before. Why? All of a sudden, you start realizing these things. Man, I kind of like being in a clean place. I kind of like being away. And the stuff that I heard and listened and saw and watched and ate and tasted and everything that I was putting into my life just doesn't have the same. Something doesn't feel right about it. What is that? That's a new creature inside. That's a new creature. And it says all things have become new. We should know something about it. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. Verse 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. A new creature. This new creature, that something kind of is different about us. And it's not just our imagination. It's not awakening of our conscience. It's that through salvation, once we become in Christ, we become a new creature comes in us. And so at one time, or we would have a conscience that would bother us about the really bad things, but we could kind of push that off to the side and just kind of have a good time enjoying whatever the flesh. I mean, we were just walking after the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, and we were just going about our business, just living life. After we get saved, something else comes over us, and we're confused about that now. And now we become a true schizophrenic. We're two different personalities. We're two different people. One says, no, we like this junk. We like this filth. And something else inside of it says, no, we like it clean. Someone says, forget about all that Jesus stuff. The other thing inside says, no, that Jesus stuff is important. There's a lot of truth to it. One thing says, don't read the Bible. That's boring. The other part says, read some more of that. There's something in there. Man, it's feeding us. And man, there's something to it. It's drawing me to the Word. There's something that says the preacher is boring. And there's something else that says the preacher is still kind of boring, but he's working on it. Right? And there's a new creature in us. Why? That's what happens when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You're provided a new nature. A new nature. Look in Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 10. Colossians 3:10. Let's read 9. Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds, verse 10, and have put on the new man. All right, so not only is it a new creature, but it's a new man. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. This new man is something different. This new man inside, this new version of us on the inside, it comes from the Lord. It comes from something beyond ourselves. Now, here's what happens for those of you that were saved young and didn't get in much trouble, and you stayed in church, and thank God for you. Or you're young enough, you haven't been able to get out yet, but you're still here because you're made to be here. Right, and you grow up around it, and you don't know a whole lot because you don't know a whole lot about the old man. You don't have this drastic change when you got saved because you were a kid. You got saved when you were young, and you understand sin, and you understood disobedience, and you understood against God, and you got saved, and thank God for that. Right, but what happens is you start to confuse this new man that you've known almost your whole life with you, and you start to say, well, I'm pretty good. Yeah. And you start to stick your chest out and say, well, I'm better than other people. And these lost sinners, I can't believe how they would ever do such a thing. And we start to take the credit for the new man that's the only thing we know. And I say we here because I was saved young. And you start to get some Bible knowledge in your head, and you start to think, man, I got a lot of this under control. And then you start to dabble with the old man and kind of start testing the waters with the garbage that the old man still likes. Yeah. And you start to think, I can handle this because I'm the new man. You're not the new man. You're the old man. And you can get in the same mess as anybody else when you follow the old man. Yeah. But the new man, that's the difference. That's what God has given you. And that's why people that get saved young and live their lives, they start getting that messed up, thinking that I'm the new man. No, you're not the new man. I just happen to have the blessing of having some of the old man beat out of me when I was a kid. And then when the old man said, hey, let's go do this thing, I was like, I don't know, I'm a little afraid of that. I'm afraid of that sin because some of the fear of God that gets in you just from simply being around the Word of God. And then the fear of the rod or the belt or whatever it was that I was going to be whooped with. That puts a little fear in you as well. Well, it seems like it'd be fun, but there's a penalty to pay for getting caught for that. And so what happens, you're tempered and you start to think, well, that's me. I've never really done anything that bad. To the grace of God, That's not the real you. The real you is the one still looking for trouble. And it's that new man that God gave you, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. In verse 24. Ephesians 4, 24. Yeah, that's the verse I want, but we're going to 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, who? The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So you get this new man, you receive the gospel, and guess what happens? You get a new creature, you get a new man. You have different names now. I mean, you're the same, you have the same name, surname, but you're a new creature, you're a new man. That's, God's put that inside of you. Not only that, but in this new nature, it has different attributes, far different from the old man. It's a new creature and a new man, so it has new names, but the old man has attributes very different than the new man. And we just read about that. Two of those attributes, look at this first one in verse 24. But that put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Those are two attributes of what? The new man. How did you get the new man? You didn't turn over a new leaf. You didn't go to AA. You didn't find religion. If you have a new man inside of you based on righteousness and true holiness, that came from outside of yourself. You couldn't come up with that man. You couldn't come up with that person. Oh, you could walk around and fake it for a while. You could say, oh, I'm done with, I was at the low of the lows, and I came back up, and I pulled myself up by the bootstraps, and I've made it, and I've arrived, and now I don't stoop to those levels anymore, and I just have this righteousness and true holiness in me. Incorrect. You can't come up with that. You can't fabricate that in and of yourself. Well, how do you know? Because your natural instinct, when you get lazy and stop fighting the good fight of faith, is you run back to the junk. Like a magnet. You're just magnetized to the garbage. You just turn it on and watch it and consume it and look out there around and let it start going through your mind. What happens? We're just a magnet to everything we shouldn't be messing around with. Why? Because it's the new man that's created in righteousness and true holiness. How's that happen? It comes from God. When you get saved, you become in Christ. And when you get saved, you have Christ placed in you through the gospel, placed in you, and you are not the same. And you should not, you do not have the same individual inside of you. You now have a man that's righteous and holy. Look in 1 Corinthians 2:16. 1 Corinthians 2. So the attributes of the new man are righteousness, true holiness. And then in verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What happened? We get a new mind. We have a new mind. That's what it says. It says, we have the mind of Christ. Look in Philippians 2, 5. Philippians 2, 5. We have this new mind in us, given to us by God as part of our new nature. 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind? This mind that has been given to us. this new mind that God has given to us has the ability through the scriptures and through the preaching of God's word and through the growing in grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, we have this new mind to be able to think differently than the old man. The old man says, all right, let's get to it. Let's figure this thing out. We got to figure it all out. And the mind of Christ says, let's live by faith. You know, whoa, I'm uncomfortable with that. The old man's uncomfortable with living by faith. The old man says, let's figure it out. Let's calculate. Let's get this done. Let me think about this and figure that out and go over here and think this through. And the new mind says, hold on. We can do our best and we can plan, but we now have the mind of Christ. And so now we're gonna think like the scriptures, and we're gonna think like putting our faith in God and in Christ Jesus. That new mind is something completely different than what the old man has. The old man simply works with the tangible, right? That's all the old man's mind can do. It can just look and believe and see only what's tangible to them. And the new mind says, no, we have access to Christ and to God and the love of God, and we can go above and beyond and do these other things, and we can humble ourselves, and we can see other people better than ourselves. And the old man says, no, I can see it. I can see they're not better than me. I can see that I'm more talented in this area. I can see that I have an advantage with this ability. And the mind of Christ says, no. We're not just looking on the outward. We're looking like God does. He looks on the heart. And see, we have this new mind that is given to us in the new man. So the attributes are righteousness, true holiness. We have a new mind, and we have a new heart. We have a new heart, Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5:19. says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When the Lord gives us a new heart, He gives us a new heart of worship towards the Lord. Something that the old man doesn't understand. Now, the Christian, quote-unquote, Christian music is so worldly and ungodly today that the old man can listen to some of it and be like, oh, yeah, I like this. This feels good. Why? Because it has nothing to do with the melody in our heart to God. It has something to do with a rhythm, and it's carnal. It's trying to take spiritual things and shove it into something completely carnal. And so that we can like it, and it can have a draw and an appeal to those that aren't saved. And so we can bring them in, and we can make sinners feel comfortable in church, so we can give them the gospel. But it's not that effective. What happens is you make saved and born again individuals carnal. That's what happens. When you take spiritual things and make them carnal, guess what happens? They no longer are spiritual, they are carnal. And we know that those two things are at enmity. They are not together. They don't go together. And so, but the new man, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. To the Lord. We have this new heart that worships God. We take the carnal. That's why it says singing and making melody. A melody is a single line and rhythm of notes that goes together, and that melody in your heart is worshiping the Lord. Now, all songs have melody, all of them. All right, but the melody in and of itself doesn't have near the... If you take the carnal songs of the world, I'm just talking like worldly songs. All the lines have a melody. Well... Let me take that back. Most songs have a melody. And that'll affect you in some way. But if you just extract the melody, most of those songs are pretty boring. Why? Because the flesh isn't that concerned with the melody. The flesh is concerned with the rhythm and with the harmonies. And that's what makes a song greatly different. But we can sing a melody in our heart unto the Lord, and we can sing and we can rejoice and worship with singing a melody in our heart unto the Lord. That's what we can do, and He's given us that ability. Look in Ephesians 6, verse 6. This new heart of ours, the Bible says in 6, verse 6, verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Amen. There should be an element of a servant's heart that is given to us when we get saved. There should be something. God gives us new attributes of our heart to serve others. And you don't find that as much in the lost world. That old man doesn't want to do that. That old man wants to be served. That old man doesn't want to humble himself to serve someone else. But the new man, that new heart, there should be an attitude of humbleness and an attitude of servitude. That's going to get tricky. All right? A servant's attitude that comes from the heart of what? The new man. The new man. Look in 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1. Verse 5. 1 Timothy 1, 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. This pure heart that we've been given, it's the commandment of charity. And to generalize this coming out of our hearts is an attitude of love. I'm not changing the word charity to love. Okay? It's a ripoff when you do that. You weaken the word charity when you just change it to love. Especially the understanding that the world has. Love to the world means lust. I'll love when convenient. That's not love. That's not love. Love is there when it's inconvenient. Love is what Christ had when He went to the cross. That's what greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. That's a selfless act. That's love. And so charity is giving. It's you know, we use the term love in action, right? It's doing something about the love. It's not just saying, oh, I have love in my heart. No, it's being active with that. It's showing something. But God has put inside of us a different love inside of our heart that comes from God. It's part of the new creature. It's part of the new man that we can... it's been said, we don't understand love until someone gets saved. And we understand that love that Christ had for us. Now we can really know what love is. Why? Because God is love. We love Him because He first loved us. And now we have a whole different understanding of what love is. A whole different understanding of Christ's love, where we can go out and give someone a gospel tract, invite somebody to church because we care about their soul. That's a different love than running the rat race and climbing over top of people so you can get ahead in the workforce or whatever it is. That's not love. That's me first, you next. That's the idea of the world. That's the idea of the old man. You know, that's why when you're driving on the road and someone is trying to drive, get by you and cut you off because they want to get in the lane when the traffic's really bad, that you just go and ride like an inch away from the bumper in front of you. What is that? That's the old man. That's the old man saying, me first, you next. I'm never guilty of that, but it seems like some of you are. Let's all take a moment. Let's all take a moment. And I've actually caught myself attempting to be spiritual and attempting to control myself on the road. And it's like, yeah, I'll let you in. And I just think, I'm getting soft. See, that's a dumb way to think about it. Well, the new man and the old man are so completely opposite that you have to notice at some point. Like, if you don't notice, you're not trying to live according to the new man. Because you haven't squashed out the old man. Right? Oh, I just don't really notice any difference after I got saved and in the Bible and under the preaching of the Word of God, I just don't really notice any difference. Well, then you're just living in a completely carnal state. Because there's no way you've beat that man down. And so it's just you're not trying to live according to the new man. If you're not trying to live according to the new man, it doesn't matter that he's even in there. Right? Because you're making all your decisions. But he's given a new heart of love. Look in 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. It's a heart to follow. This new man has been given a heart to follow. And that old man doesn't have that. That old man has a desire to lead and be first. Yeah. And have everything done for itself. Yeah. But not the new heart. The new heart is to follow. We're not just supposed to flee also youthful lusts, but we're supposed to be following righteousness, faith, charity, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We're to be following after those things. And that new man after salvation, after you receive Christ, that new heart is given a will to worship and serve and love and follow. And then lastly, on this new nature that we have, we've been given a new will. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 6. We looked at this verse, but Ephesians 6:6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. This new will that we have been given is to serve and follow Christ. To serve Christ. It's not just a new heart to serve, although we've been given that, but we've been given a new will, a new desire. Our desires should be different in the new man, in the new creature, than the old man. Look in Colossians 1:29. Colossians 1:29, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. What is it? It's a new will to serve the Lord. There should be some desire in you to say, what can I do for the Lord? What can I do to serve him? That desire is of the new man. That's the desire that God has placed into you once you got saved. The old man has a desire to serve itself. I'll go to work and I'll go work for the man. What? So you can make money to do what you want to do. That's what it's for. It's not a desire to serve the man, you know, whatever the things people say. I'm just going to work for the boss. He's making all the money and I'm doing all the work. You know, all the stuff. And what? But we're doing it because if we can't do that, then, you know, we don't get to eat. And we like eating. And we don't get to have that extra money to be able to buy some of those toys that we like. And we don't have the ability to do this or do that. That's the old man. It says, what can I do? But the new man is a will to serve the Lord. That new man says, all right, all that's great. But what can I do for God? What can I do to serve him? And what can I do to obey and to follow and to listen to his leading and his guiding and to be underneath the service of the Lord. That's part of the new nature. That's part of the, and that nature isn't there outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get saved, He puts the new nature into you. We don't know anything about this new nature in the Old Testament. We don't know anything about it. It's people obeying and following after God. What's the main driving force that we find, I believe, the main driving force that we find in the Old Testament? Fear. Blessing or cursing? Blessing or cursing? That's what God gives over and over and over and over again in the Old Testament. And you can motivate to a certain extent by fear. And in fact, it can be very, very effective to motivate by fear. But in the New Testament, we're not motivated by fear. Why? We've been given liberty and love and freedom in Christ. He says, I've given you this new creature in order to serve and to love and to do all these things. I've given all of this to you. We don't see that nature in the Old Testament. They're serving the Lord by fear. Saul, you're king. You follow me, everything will be great. You don't, trouble. David, you're a man after my own heart. You follow me, it'll be fantastic. There'll be someone to sit on the kingdom forever. You don't, there's going to be trouble to come. Solomon, there's going to be trouble to come. What is it? The law, do this or else. That's the law, over and over and over again. And so it's a serving the Lord by fear. And yet we have all that fear taken away by Jesus Christ. We don't have to fear hell. Now, we still have a godly fear. We're going to stand before Him someday and be judged for our works. And that makes me want to try harder when I think of standing before Him. But it's not because He's going to cast me into hell. It's because I'm going to stand before Him and hear, oh, I'm disappointed you didn't do more. Oh, I don't want that. I know there's things I should have done more, but I don't want Him to stand there and hang His head in shame, be like, I did all this for you, and that's all you did? No, I don't want that. I'm not afraid of Him casting me off. I'm secure in His Son. I'm secure because I'm in Christ. But this new man, this new nature, how does that come about? That's given to us when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. We get this new man placed in us. And what we'll look at next week is we'll not only that, but we'll go back to Colossians and we'll look at this spiritual operation that happened. How did that happen? That happened by the Holy Ghost of God, and He did this work in you and I when we got saved. And so we'll continue to look at that. And so let's go ahead and pray tonight, and we'll be dismissed. Lord, thank You for being so good to us. Thank You for Your Scriptures. Thank You for this new man, this new creature that You've given us. Lord, this change that You've put in our heart, this change that You've put in our mind, this new will that we have to serve You, and Lord, I pray that we'd please You with our life. Lord, I pray that we'd understand these things according to the Scriptures and not only see them as something that You've given to us, the church, this great mystery, this body that You've put together of Jews and Gentiles, anyone who will receive You, Lord, but I pray that we would understand that in its practical application, Lord, that we should be living according to the new man. And Lord, let us thank You for it. And let us thank You for the strength to live according to that new man. And Lord, I pray that we would stop feeding the old man, Lord, for Your honor and glory. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name.